to do some ninja stuff today.
Hey, ready?
Alright. We're still on our series, Worship Defined. Today we're going to talk about worship in spirit. And we're going to do something really different today. I need you to take out a Bible from the pew or a hymn book. I'm going to ask you to do a lot of writing today, because in your bulletin you should have received a sheet of paper like this that says Body, Soul, Spirit across the top. And you're going to fill this out as I go along so that you can take it and look at it before you pray, before you do any kind of worship at home, work, or even before you come to church. So I want you to be ready to do that. Now we're going to stand for God's Word as we read it from John chapter 4, 23 through 24. These are the words of Jesus. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. See that last verse again. God is spirit. We know that, right? And his worshipers, that would be you and me, must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can be seated. First thing we're going to talk about, oh, it's the Word of God for the people of God. Sorry about that. Yeah. I was up here earlier seeing how I could manage, and I was caught in the slinkies and everything. I thought, how am I going to preach? I'm going to get a slinky in the eye. I don't know if my insurance covers that, but anyway. The first thing we're going to talk about today, it's in your notes, is the Father's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And we must put our physical and emotional limitations aside. Now, we are made in the image of God. The scripture tells us that. God is in three parts. We call the Trinity. He's three parts. God is what? God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But it's no coincidence that we are made up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. And notice Jesus said that we must worship not in body, not in soul, but in spirit. That's why we're going to fill out this chart today. So, first of all, under body, this is what your body is. Here, let me show you this little thing, what I did. I showed it to you before one time. This red stick represents your body. Now, your body, if you're letting it influence everything going on around you, it's going to affect your soul, and it's going to affect your spirit. See how that's going? Now, what is our body? These are simple. Write this down, and you're probably going to have to go to the back side of your sheet. The first thing is your body are your five senses. Smell, feel, touch, hearing. Yeah, I don't know them all. I haven't learned them yet. The next thing is it's your nerves. Some people say, oh, I'm so nervous. Yeah, I know what that's like. Every Sunday morning I'm nervous. I've been preaching all these years and I get so nervous sometimes, like Saturday night is ridiculous. Your organs, are you writing this down? Your cells, tell me if I'm going too fast. Your muscles, some of us have more muscles than others. Some of us have more fat than others. We won't mention any names, right? And under that, I want you to write the word flesh. It's the same list. Write flesh and circle it. The body is also known as our flesh, and the Bible talks about the works of the flesh. Also said, talks about our body as being not only the works of the flesh, but our sinful nature. Our sinful nature is also in our soul. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Now, under flesh, you keep going on your list, this is where you're going to see some of the works of the flesh. You don't have to write this down, but this is where you may, your body may look at someone else, and before you know it, things happen and you have an adulterous affair. Or maybe your body craves alcohol or some kind of substance abuse. Your body will control your soul and control your spirit. These are the things that it tells us in Galatians 5, some of the things that happen to us in our body. And you could write these down. Fighting or quarreling, whichever word you want to use. Are you writing it down? Jealousy. Impurity. And lustful pleasures. They all come from your body. Okay? Now we're going to go to our soul. Here's your soul. When your soul is in control, it will control what your body does. It will control what your spirit does. So under soul, write these words. Emotions. This is where the seat of your emotions are. This is where your intellect is. So write down intellect. Your mind. The things that you think. So mind. Your will. Some of you had to will yourself to come to church today. There's been some times that Bonnie had to push my will and say, you're the pastor, you need to be there no matter what. Right? Choices. This is where we make our choices because it's from our intellect. This is really where our personality is. You can see little children at a very early age what kind of soul they have in their personality a lot of times, right? Some kids have an old soul. You ever notice that? And some older people have a young soul. I've met people in their 90s. Man, they're like a 10-year-old trapped in a 92-year-old body. Right? And then you can put reasoning. This is where we do our reasoning. It's in our soul. Now, under that same list, write the word feelings and circle it. Feelings and circle it. Sometimes when we feel like we need to get away with something, guess what? We lie. So you can put lying down on that list. Or cheating. Cheating comes from our soul, our reasoning, our thinking, our mind. And of course, it affects our body. It affects our spirit. Revenge. Have you ever wanted to get revenge on someone? You're in an argument with them and you think that, oh, I wish I had said this, but it's too late, they're already gone. You want to get back at them? Now, you know you've done that way, right? Bitterness. Bitterness can become a seat in your soul. And it will affect your body. As much as outbursts of anger. So put outbursts of anger. If you're an angry person, it's going to affect your blood pressure. It's going to affect your body. It's definitely going to affect your spirit and your worship to God. Hostility. That's listed in Galatians chapter 5. Write down hostility. Here's one that we don't use very often, but most Americans do have idols. We even have a show called American Idol. Right? Idolatry. Write down idolatry. Selfish ambition usually comes from our soul. Selfish ambition. Let me know if I'm going too fast. Now we're going to go to the spirit. This is the part that we don't use the most. We usually operate out of our soul the most and then our body. But the spirit we do not operate out of that much. The spirit part of us will help us to control our soul, which is our emotions, our will, our thinking, all those things that we talk about. Our spirit will help us to have righteous anger instead of unhealthy anger. But the spirit is a part of us when we were born that was separated from God. It was marred, it was dead. It's our spirit that has to be born again. And when our spirit is born again, then we can have a connection to God. So under spirit, write the first thing on the list, it connects with God. Connects with God. This is the part that really connects with God. You know, the scripture said the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's awesome, isn't it? Next thing you can write on the list is meaning. This is where our true meaning in life comes from. It's through our spirit. Because our spirit is eternal. Yes, our soul is eternal too, but it's marred by sin. The spirit is the biggest part and the most important part. That's the most eternal and the most connected to God. So you can write down purpose. We just sang a song about purpose. Cool, huh? This is where your purpose really comes from. Where your purpose and meaning in life really come from God, you have to find it in your spirit and then work it out through your soul, your mind, your emotions, your reasoning, your thinking, and work it out with your body. You can write down unconditional love next, or ultimate love, because what's the definition of love? The scripture says God is love. The last one is the spiritual part of us is the supernatural part. You can write down supernatural. That's the part we don't understand that much because it's in the unseen world. Now under that, in that same list, write the word faith and circle it. Faith and circle it. Here is where the fruits of the Spirit come alive in us. Can anybody name the fruits of the Spirit off the top of your head? They're listed in Galatians chapter 5. Write down the fruits. This is where love comes. You can love people that are unlovable in the Spirit. Next would be joy. This is where true joy comes from. The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? This is where true peace comes from. Peace, no matter what's going on in our life, come hell or high water, whatever kind of trial or hardship we're going through, when we're in the Spirit, we still have the joy of the Lord and it's our strength. Praise God.
Amen.
The next thing you would put on that list is patience. Peace, patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. You see, a lot of people didn't come to church today. Well, they're not here, so I can pick on them, right? They didn't come here today because they were operating out of their soul. And a lot of people could have been here, but their emotions were telling them to do something else. Faithfulness comes out of the Spirit. Or their body was tired, you see. And, I just can't make it to church today, I'm tired. Then after that comes, I said, gentleness, right? Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control come from the Spirit. I'm going to put these away. Now that is a list that you can look at, and you can see whether you're operating out of your feelings, whether you're operating out of faith, or whether you're operating out of your flesh. Okay? I have pastored many years, and I've pastored some churches that their worship service was manifested out of the flesh. My wife was there with me. She can say amen to that. I have pastored some churches where their main motive of worship was through their soul, their emotions. You get in northern Maine, it's a very hard life up there. They have a survival mentality. And they were pretty wild up there. I thought I was in the Appalachian Mountains. If they had snakes up there that were poisonous, they probably would have had poisonous snakes in the service, you know, the snake handlers. They were very emotional. And, you know, they would shout and scream and jump. You know, they were Pentecostal and whatever you want to call them. I said they're crazy. But it was all out of emotion. The ultimate thing that we want to be as a church is those who worship in spirit and in truth. And we get past those other areas of our life. We need to put our will and our feelings aside to focus on Jesus Christ. Our spirits need to be fed. This is very important. Our spirits need to be fed. They need connection to our living God. Just as our body needs food and our soul and our intellect needs to be fed, so does our spirit. And today I hope that your spirit will be fed by the time that this message is over. Jesus said twice in John chapter 3, you must be born again. And he was talking about being born again in the spirit. so that you can worship God in spirit and in truth. You see, humans reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. God has no grandchildren. We cannot get into a relationship with our Creator and our Savior. We cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ until we've been born again in the Spirit. And each generation has to do that. We are always one generation away, the church is, from extinction. Because each generation has to accept Jesus Christ into their heart and life and be born again of the Spirit. The Bible also says that the natural man, the man who does not have the Spirit living within them, cannot understand the things of God. So if you're not understanding this message today, you need to be born again. Okay? Or if you hear some teaching or you read your Bible, you say, I just can't understand it, it's no big deal. All you have to do is say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I want to be born again. Let's go on to the second one thing we're going to talk about today. And this is what I really wanted to get to. We've been working our way all the way up to this point. I think this is the most important part of worship. Worship requires a response or a reaction on our part. Whether it be a physical response, emotional, mental, an altering of our mind or our way of thinking, altering of our will, or maybe giving us a new desire to know God's will, something should come out of worship every time we worship Him. Whether it's here on Sunday morning, or whether it's when you're in your car listening to Christian music, or you're at home reading your Bible, or you're out on the field farming and you're looking at the beautiful sunset or the beautiful sunrise, and you just say, God, that's awesome. Some kind of response will come that will alter something in your life. One of the responses of worship can be verbally. You'll begin to praise God, and thankfulness will burst from your heart and come out of your lips. Or you will worship God. You have read something, or you have prayed, whether it's church or somewhere else, and you go and you want to share it with someone else, what God had taught you or shown you. Or you want to witness to someone because you want them to have the same Jesus that you have. Amen? Another response to worship would be responding with our behavior. We had a church I pastored had a revival. I mentioned that to you one time. And people's lives were just turned upside down. And so people had all kinds of stories and things that they wanted to share that God had done in their life. So we set up a microphone down in the front, and then the line just went all the way around the church. People wanted to get up and give their testimony of what God had done for them over the past few weeks. And they were heart-wrenching sometimes. And people would applaud. But this one man got up, and he confessed in front of the whole church that he had been addicted to pornography. And he had a teenage daughter, and he had two younger daughters. Wow. He broke down and cried. The church gathered around him and hugged him. But he said, I know that God has delivered me. That is a response to worship. It changed him. It transformed him. He was willing to say that in front of a whole congregation. One time, I always give these illustrations from way back, but I think they're cool. I guess I needed them when I was young, and I don't need them now that I'm older. But the pastor was away, and I was an associate pastor. I was a youth pastor, and I was preaching again. And I don't remember what I was preaching on, but at the end, I go to pray after the sermon, and this guy by the name of Everett, who was known to be sort of a stink bug in the church, you know, sort of had an attitude sometimes, come walking down the middle aisle, right towards the pulpit. And he stands right in front of the pulpit and goes, I got something to say. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm not the lead pastor here. I'm not the senior pastor. What am I going to do? You know, nobody knew whatever. You never knew what Everett was going to say. And I'm like, how do I stop this? There was no stopping him. He just started talking. He said, over the last week, God has been dealing with me, and God has shown me that I have a critical attitude, and I'm very critical. And I've been really critical of our lead pastor, our senior pastor. And I want you to all forgive me if I've been critical towards you. And I almost wet my pants. I was like totally shocked. I thought no one could reach this guy. This guy was so... I thought he had a personality disorder. I really did. God broke through to him. That was his response to worship. We can respond emotionally. Have you ever been worshiping all of a sudden you're just so happy? One of your favorite worship songs come on and you just start smiling? You should see me smiling when Randy was singing, you know? I don't remember ever hearing that song, but I was smiling, man. I couldn't wipe it off my face. That was my response to the worship that was going on. Sometimes it's joy and laughter. I've seen people almost break out in laughter in church because God had touched their spirit. And one time it happened to me at the church where we were having revival, and this guy who had been mad at me, I was a pastor, he'd been mad at me for a couple years, he stopped coming to church, and he came to revival, and God had touched him again, and we're at the altar praying, and he turns, he looks at me, and he starts laughing. And I couldn't help but either. I started laughing too. The joy, God had changed his heart and our relationship, and we had to like keep trying to keep it down below the music. We couldn't stop laughing. Oh, God is such a good God. Sometimes we'll have tears emotionally because we're so thankful and grateful for the greatness and the goodness of God or what he's doing in our life or him just being who he is. Another way we respond is through repentance, where we have remorse and we have regret and we have shame for what we have done. And we want to turn it around and make things right. That's what repentance is. We want to turn around and make things right. And sometimes it's accompanied by tears of sorrow for your behavior. Another way we respond is through conviction. That's when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us, you're guilty of doing this sin or that sin. But he does it in such a gentle way. If it's done in a really harsh and harmful way, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's the enemy of your soul. And if you feel condemned, that's from the enemy. That's from the devil. God does not condemn, especially his children. He does not condemn us. The scripture says there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Let me share a little thing. When I was really young, I was young one time. We were doing a day camp in Massachusetts. We were the directors. We were still in college. And I didn't know which end was up. But here I am, I'm the director of this day camp. And we had some girls that were counselors. And at the main office in the main central building, there was this big picture window. It was actually like a showcase window. And these three girls got into the window and they were doing exotic dancing. They thought it was funny. They were counselors. And I took them off the side and said, you can't do that. And in my zeal, I drove them home that day, dropped them off and says, we won't be needing you anymore. Basically, I fired them. They weren't getting paid anyways, I don't think. And the parents, of course, called me and they were all upset. They said, they're just kids. They're just kids. Well, they're teenagers. They're just kids. And I felt so horrible. And for years, that bothered me. And I felt condemned. And then I realized, no, the Holy Spirit convicted me. I will never do anything like that again. I remember praying for those girls and praying for their salvation, praying that I did not harm them, and tried to get a hold of them. And there's just some times when you'll feel condemned. That's not from the Holy Spirit. Another way we respond to worship is physical. We bow or we kneel out of awe at the thought of his greatness and his power and his love, and we're sometimes humbled. I see people come up here for prayer and they bow. Or I see people come up here for communion and they bow and kneel before the Lord. I like to, and this may sound weird to some of you, but it's biblical, I like to sometimes lay flat on my face on the floor out of humility before God. just sometimes I just feel, my body feels like it needs to do it, my spirit needs to do it. And I pray, because I just want to get so close to God, I'm just so hungry for God. And if you walk into the sanctuary sometimes, and your pastor's laying flesh down on the floor, check my pulse, I might be dead. But I'm probably praying. Now, I don't do it so much now that I'm older, because I can't get up as easy as I used to. But I've been caught a few times in the churches, laying by the altar down there praying. It's a physical response to worship. Another one is fear. We should have a healthy fear and reverence and respect for God, because He controls our heartbeat. The next breath that we take, it sort of reminded me of the song that we sang earlier that Jill and Walker were leading. I love the scripture in Psalm 112, verse 1, it says, "How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commands." And then Psalm 115 and verse 13 says, "He will bless those," oh, I love this one, "He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great." Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life." Psalm 33 says, "The eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him." Another way we respond is by being comforted in worship. You're going through a difficult time and you're hurting, and you respond by worship because all of a sudden God touches your spirit and you have this peace that passes all understanding. You have this comfort that it seems supernatural. You don't know where it's coming from, and it's just so awesome. You see, worship demands a response. Worship is a two-way street. We praise and worship Him from our inmost being, from our spirit, and then He will touch our body, He'll touch our soul, and He'll touch our spirit. How will we respond to Him today? How will you respond to Him today, tomorrow, next week, next month? Maybe you'll respond to Him by sitting in silence. I've seen that happen before, where people just want to stay in the church afterwards. It's hard for us because we have Sunday school. A lot of churches, the service is the last thing, and people will just want to sit there in silence and just think about what God has spoke to them in their heart. Or maybe you'll change a bad habit, or maybe you'll stretch yourself and you do some kind of ministry in the church or outside the church. But just remember that worship is keeping in constant communion with God everywhere, every day, not just here on Sunday morning. Pray with me. Lord, may these words that have come from this mouth today touch and change us, Lord, and help us to worship You in spirit and truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This song that we're going to sing will be a great one for worship. Remember, I played it last week. We see where it changes from praise to worship. So let's stand together.